It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
And welcome back. It's a new year. You are listening to the MRCTV podcast public service announcement with me, Eric Shiner, and
Brittany Hughes. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. We're back. We're back. We're back, unless you're a federal worker, which actually made driving in today easier.
It did. Exactly.
I will say that
like an hour and a half to get here.
one of the pluses of the government shutdown. There's plenty of negatives. Obviously, a lot of people are focused on that as well. But one of the definite pluses is traffic in the area a lot lighter, and we get to say we were wrong in our last podcast before we took the break. We thought the Republicans were going to back down.
We did.
And I would say this, the Republicans, I think, kind of did. Trump didn't. Trump said, I'm not going to sign it, which is an interesting change of game plan. You know, you get so used to Republicans conceding on these funding measures that's just the way it is. So the standoff continues, the shutdown continues as we speak right now, as we're recording this. Trump is in office at the White House with Schumer, with Nancy Pelosi, going over border security.
Yes.
And Republican leaders. So we haven't heard the latest. It hasn't started officially as of yet.
It hasn't. And I think it's interesting. I mean, and we were all really nervous, of course, in the beginning. I think that there was some talk from the White House and the White House press secretary, Sarah Sanders, talking about that, you know, Trump might even back down. But I think that regardless of whether or not he was ever planning on backing down or not, obviously, I'm not privy to those personal conversations that he has. But even if he was, I think that there was a lot of pushback. I think that there was, you know, this is a campaign promise that he ran on. This is the campaign promise that he ran on.
And he's starting off from a compromised position. $25 billion is the number for the wall. He's asking for $5 right now.
Well, and he's also going into a situation where Democrats are about to take the House, and he knows that, and he's going to have even less leverage than before. And it's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for the next 2 years. You're going to see this slugfest. And so I think he knew that if he was going to hold his ground, it needed to be now. And there was a lot of pushback. The minute that it came out that he might back down, there was an immediate outcry from strong border supporters on the right. And I think that resonated and that was heard, which is actually kind of nice to sort of, again, assuming that that's what kind of did it and pushed this over to the edge. You know, the idea that the people's voice is actually heard. And this is something I think, you know, obviously, people had even started a GoFundMe in order to raise the $5 billion for this wall. Now, they didn't get anywhere close.
Interesting. Yeah,
but
no, but it's interesting that, you know, that they tried.
It showed the purpose here. And I know that those funds still have to be appropriated. And I know that that's not the best way to do it, legally speaking. And they didn't even get close to $5 billion. You know, and I understand that. But the point was that they were making a statement that this is something that we want done and we'll do it ourselves if we have to. This is important to us. And I think that resonated. The thing that's going to be interesting, I think, is now there's been talk of kind of a compromise where, you know, they might not get $5 billion, but maybe the Democrats will cough up, you know, $1.5, $2 billion, you know. And it's for border security. I think the question now becomes, well, what does border security mean? Are we really funding a wall here? Or are we just dumping more money into things like cameras and drones? And it's not that those things aren't important, but the specific promise that has been made and what people want is an actual, tangible, physical barrier, a wall, not just a wall that we call it a wall, but it's mostly, you know, it's a hodgepodge of all kinds of different security measures. People want a physical wall. So it's going to be interesting to see how much money they end up coming to a compromise on. I don't suspect it's going to be the full $5 billion and what that money actually ends up going to. I think that's going to be the next thing.
Some areas, and this is interesting because ICE has repeatedly said, the Customs and Border Patrol has said, walls work. They've come out and spoken in favor of the wall. We had the incident on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day where they actually found a weakness and they tried to go underneath the wall on New Year's Eve night, and tear gas was fired. And once again, we have this border incident, which, of course, you know, sets up the meeting that's going to be happening today with both Republican and Democratic leaders with the president at the White House on border security. Here was a weak point in the wall. Weak point in the fencing, and they went for it. Supposedly, you know, the reports are that the illegal, I guess they're not illegal aliens unless they cross over, but
I guess they're illegal aliens. Mexico.
The migrant groups were throwing rocks and putting women and children up front.
And we've heard that before. We've heard that before, that this is not women and children scrambling to get across because they're so afraid of violence. This is mostly men. These caravans are made up of mostly men. Even MSNBC admitted that at one point, that this is mostly men, and that they do this thing where they will shove women and children up to the front and then throw rocks from behind them and try to break down the
acts of violence behind them.
Because they assume that Border Patrol is not going to fire tear gas or anything.
There's reports that they forced young kids to scale the wall.
And that has actually happened before as well. Actually, one woman that was trying to scale the wall during one of these attacks earlier, attack, whatever you want to call it, one of these border wall rushes several weeks ago, actually ended up falling and impaling herself on part of this fence. Because again, I mean, parts of the fence are they're slats and they've got either razor wire or spikes at the top or something.
Right.
She lived. Of course, they ended up taking her to a local hospital. But this has happened.
Can you imagine
there was
the
a baby
media
that
coverage
actually,
if they haven't, if that person didn't live, though? Can you imagine
how
the liberal media would have attacked that one?
Well, they've actually, a small child a few weeks ago actually fell off the top of the wall. And we wrote about that at MRC TV. So these are really dangerous situations that the migrants themselves are putting women and children in. And of course, you know, we heard again over the holiday week and, you know, really horribly sad story, and I'm so sorry for it, but there was another little boy. It was a little girl the first time. But
a 7-year-old girl had previously passed away. Yes, now we have an 8-year-old boy.
An 8-year-old boy from Guatemala who passed away, and they ended up doing an autopsy. And I believe it turned out that he had influenza B, which is one of the big ones that causes meningitis and swelling on the brain and things. And they had taken him to the hospital twice before he ended up finally passing away, and there was nothing anybody could do. And as horrible as that is, and as sad as that is, Democrats will immediately use that to rush to, you know, border agents are Nazis, and we, you know, we're not treating children humanely.
Yeah, they did that with the 7-year-old girl as well.
But toss a child over the wall, and that doesn't get any play whatsoever, because that's what the migrants are doing. So, again, you just have this hypocritical double standard about when we care about kids and when we don't.
And there's no context, because as we know, you know, some children die, some American children, citizens die of influenza.
Absolutely.
In the United States. I mean, it's not unheard of. It's not common.
Especially when you're dragged all the way from Guatemala without adequate food, water or medical.
Walking, right. Yeah,
talking about a 2,000-mile journey here. And it's really unfortunate. And this is why ICE warns people, do not try to come here that way, because it is incredibly dangerous and you're putting the health and the safety of you and your family and your children at risk. And things like this happen. So again, and by the way, I would just like to remind everyone, if you're out there listening, this might come as a shock to you, but this happened under Obama, too.
Yeah.
There were children that died after coming across the border illegally under Obama,
and people,
too.
And tear gas fired, just like it was fired again on New Year's Eve with this rock. And, you know, it's funny because they even say, according to Homeland Security, you know, the migrants appear to be trying to stage a photo op of their actions in front of conveniently invited media.
That
quote, conveniently invited media, end quote.
That sounds about right. I mean, we saw this back. You remember that photo that we discussed just a few weeks ago of the woman running with the two kids? And I think was it a Reuters photo? I think it was a Reuters photo. Anyway, a photographer had snapped this picture of this woman, and she just looked like she was fleeing for her life.
Yeah,
and all around her, people just
hands.
Standing around, not really doing. This was clearly a very set up photo that didn't tell a full and comprehensive story. That was actually very deceptive. We've seen that happen. You know, the kids in cages that ended up not being kids in cages. You know, the little girl screaming next to her mother who ended up that they weren't separated at all. We've seen this over and over again. So I would just caution everybody, you know, these pictures that come out, sometimes even the video that comes out, unfortunately,
she talks to the media and she tells her story how she is trying to apply for amnesty with her family. And it's like, well, no, if you're trying to apply for amnesty, you don't go with a group of rock throwers that are storming the wall. You don't get involved with that crowd. It's that simple.
It's really not that difficult.
That's not the way. That's not how you do it. That's the wrong way.
You can apply for asylum anywhere. you can apply for asylum once you get to Mexico. You can go to a U.S. embassy and apply for asylum. Trump has even made it very clear that just go to a port of entry. At least if you go to a port of entry, we can process you. We can have a better account of who's coming. We can control the flow a little bit better, and we can do it in stages that are manageable. If you want to apply for asylum, go to a port of entry. That has not been heeded. They're not doing that. That is a very simple request. Instead, they're choosing to try to break down weak sections of the border fence. So again, going back to where our conversation started with the shutdown, I am not a huge fan of government shutdowns. I know a lot of people on the right are big fans of government shutdowns. They say that the government should be shut down even longer. I understand the sentiment behind that. I do, but as the wife of someone who's in the military, I also see the other side of it, where fortunately the Department of Defense is funded, so our paychecks have not been hit. But there are those who have been hit, and there are some that are, I mean, the Coast Guard, they managed to scrape up some money to pay these guys through the first couple weeks of January, but they're gonna run out. And this impacts families. So I care about the shutdown, but at the same time, I'm also willing to recognize that there are some hills worth dying on, and there are some things worth standing your ground for, even if that means a government shutdown, even if it means that it hurts a little, because otherwise we will never address these kinds of problems.
Well, you know, and I know the folks on the left like to say, well, it's $5 billion. Don't you care about spending? You know, we want to stop this spending. But it's like, well, you're spending on the other end to take care of these people once they cross the border, and to
It's exponentially more than
not only
million.
Through entitlements, but also through border patrol procedure, also the criminal element that
how
does cross
do
over
and
fighting that crime, you know, with MS-13 and those type of gangs that have illegal aliens among them. There's a cost there, and I think many of us are willing to say, you know what, the cost of the wall is a little cheaper in the long run.
Absolutely. I mean, how much do you think that it takes to airlift one of these sick children to a local hospital? Now, I absolutely agree. If you've got a sick child, you need to take care of that child, and you need to airlift them to a local hospital. And you know, I'm not going to say, well, just let them die there on the side of the road. And they're not. They don't do
no,
that.
No, that hasn't been happening at
all. They get them medical care, and they should. But at the same time, you know, it cannot be lost on us that whenever that happens, that costs taxpayers money. It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to house these people, to give them medical care, to give them food and shelter, and then to adjudicate them if they even do show up to court. I mean, this whole process takes a lot of money. So again, $5 billion is, first of all, it's a drop in the $3 trillion annual budget. We spend gobs of money on ridiculous stuff. I mean, if you don't believe me, just go to the National Endowment for the Arts and look at some of the things we spend grant money on.
But see, we have no panda cam right now. And this
we don't
is
have
upsetting.
A panda cam. Now, that's very upsetting. I will say, I miss the panda cam.
That's right on the CNN article. They have a still shot that the panda cam is not operating.
Camera.
Right? Because no one could just leave a web camera on when nobody's there. Clearly, that should be. That's
well, we're turning things off for spite right now. It's kind of like, you know, remember when Obama shut things, when he shut down
yeah.
World War II Memorial? He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. It depends on how much a president wants to make this hurt. And clearly, people are very hurt over the panda camera.
The panda camera is the one that always gets the attention.
And
so there's no panda camera right now. Really, you know, watching a lot of the mainstream news coverage this morning as I was getting ready for work, you know, everyone wanted to talk about the shutdown. The Smithsonian's are closing today. The panda cam, of course. Then the meeting, the border security meeting that's going on at the White House this afternoon. And then you think they might mention what happened at the border on New Year's Day.
Well, and with some people of that, storming it and
with people storming it, no. But then they get into the next big thing of the day. Mitt Romney.
Oh, Mitt Romney.
In his editorial in the Post.
He's back. In a different state now, though. He's just bouncing all over.
The Post, which endorsed Barack Obama when Mitt Romney was running for president, is now running Mitt Romney editorials. And of course, they like this one because he attacks the president's moral character, his leadership. And I hate to be a political cryptozoologist here, but what kind of creature is Mitt Romney? You know, he gets the president's support. He sits down when he was being considered for Secretary of State with President Trump. We have the famous photos. He wants Trump to endorse him, and then he writes an editorial that gets published in a paper that didn't endorse Romney, that kind of, you know, focused on bashing him when he was running about, well, you know, well, Trump's done some good things, but, you know, his questions his moral authority and his leadership. We all thought he was from Massachusetts. Now he's a freshman senator from Utah.
I mean, the Mormonism fits, so I guess that kind of works.
So is he from Massachusetts? Is he from Utah? Is he with Trump? He's against Trump? And even Trump's tweeting this morning like, well, here we go with Mitt Romney. Hopefully he's not a flake. Yeah, with a capital F, referring to Jeff Flake. Hopefully he's not a flake. We're going to have to see what he does. Hopefully he'll be on the winning team. He's all over the place.
Well, and this might not sound too terribly original, but as an owner of cats, that's where my mind tends to go. I think you'd have to be a cat.
Wait, as an owner of cats?
I do. I have two cats.
Explain this logic.
Well,
your mind tends to go
the
where?
The thing is, that's what a cat does. They love you. They hate you. They love you. They hate you. That's the thing. That's what a cat does. A cat has no loyalty
whatsoever. Mitt Romney
whatsoever.
May be part cat. That's the cryptozoology forum for the day.
No loyalty whatsoever. You never
we are
know.
Cat
like,
Romney.
I've had cats that it's just one of, I kid you not, one of these cats loves to come and just, I mean, will just whine until you pet her and wants to love on you and sit on your lap. And I kid you not, 15 minutes later, she's crapping on the floor.
That's
not
how I'm going to promote this podcast,
though.
It's going to be why Mitt Romney is like a cat.
Why Mitt Romney's, but it's just back and forth. I love you, I hate you. I love you, and you never know where they stand. It's kind of whatever's convenient at the moment, and whatever they happen to want at the
moment. I like this analogy. You know,
that's what a cat does.
When you're hungry and you need help in getting fed your election victory, you go and you see Trump, yes. And then after you have it,
you crap on the floor. You crap on the floor. It doesn't matter how many litter boxes are around you. You are going to crap on the floor.
Well, the Post is a good litter box.
I use it to line mine, that's for sure. Anyway, moving right along. Lizzie Warren.
Oh.
Lizzie Warren.
Oh, there's an exploratory
speaking of
committee.
Things that don't go away.
All right, so is her political exploratory committee being headed by Lewis and Clark? Is that to be expected?
Well,
is that the expedition, exploratory committee?
I think that my biggest concern is that, you know, if she actually came close to running for president, or even being elected president, I think it would really it would amplify the tribalism in America today. And I have some reservations about it.
Oh, but I'm
I can't even take credit for all of that. I mean, seriously, Twitter was a gem the past couple of days. But no, seriously, I do. I predict that she will get about 1,024th of the entire primary vote. I do. And will declare herself president because of it. That'll be all it takes for her to say, and I won. Clearly, I am president. Look, in all seriousness, though, she's Hillary Clinton 2.0.
Oh, she's left to the left. Yeah.
But, I mean, we're talking about, again, and this is something that I think, you know, I think the Democrats are very wary of, and there was a lot of distaste from their side, at least that I was able to see, because here you have another older, wealthy white woman who really is out of touch, I think.
She's into it. She was drinking a beer on Instagram.
Oh, she did. She popped a beer on Instagram. I apologize. She did do that.
She was cooking on New Year's. 7 o'clock. She had a beer.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
It was kind of like, do you remember when Hillary Clinton did that one video, though? She did that one video where she was just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah,
and she had, like,
the
koozie.
But that's...
This was like that. This was like that. And you know what else it's like? Have you noticed there's a trend on the left of taking Instagram videos in your kitchens? Like, you remember that Beto O'Rourke
I can't believe
O'Rourke
you're this insulting.
Thing?
Let me tell you something. Let me say, Elizabeth Warren likes beer. She has always liked beer. She drinks beer to this day. Oh, wait. I thought that was a bad thing.
Bad.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
No, but she's a girl, so it's okay.
You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Okay, stay along with
that. And also, she's Native American, so she can pretty much do whatever she wants. It's totally fine. She can drink beer. She can smoke peyote. It's totally cool. You know, but I mean, this is a woman who's incredibly out of touch. I think that the whole stunt with the ethnicity with claiming that she's Native American, it kind of shows that she's out of touch with what people care
about.
Her
own DNA test kind of hurt her.
It really did.
I would love to know who on her staff approved that as an idea.
Well,
right before the election. Let's have a DNA test and release it.
I think she was actually trying. She was trying and she failed to thumb her nose at Trump. He kept calling her out and calling her out and calling her out for it. And finally, it was like, well, she finally just broke down and she did it and ended up not working out in her favor. But, you know, this is a woman who I don't think that she is. I don't think she's on par with a lot of a lot of Democrats, a lot of where the Democrats are going. And unfortunately, this is what I think as somebody who is a conservative, and this is something that I say with, you know, with concern, but I think is going to happen. I think what's going to happen is with reservations.
Perhaps with reservations.
I think that what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of different candidates coming out. I think it's going to kind of be like what happened with the Republicans leading up to the 2016 election is you're going to have a bajillion people come out and want to run. Whether they're going to be able to, you know, wrangle all of them under one person, I don't know. But I think you're going to have a lot of candidates that push each other farther and farther to the left. And I feel like Elizabeth Warren, she started far left. She's going to probably end up going even farther. I mean, there's a lot of things that she has changed her stance on, or at least has become more, quote unquote, progressive on. I mean, she's an adamant socialist now. Well, she wasn't really before. She had some typical left-leaning socialist tendencies, but now she's gone full bore. I mean, she was not calling for ICE to be abolished 10 years ago. Now she is. So I think that that's what we're going to continue to see is people like her becoming more and more left and saying things that they think they need to resonate with the Ocasio-Cortez base out there, the Bernie Sanders base out there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like you said,
she's not it.
If there's billions out there, billions of folks that run, because, you know, there's still talk about the possibility of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and others. If there's a lot of them, if they beat each other up, and therefore a weak candidate, someone who's been kind of beat up in strict. Although I have to say, if you look at 2016, you know, the amount of people that ran, I think, actually helped Trump.
Oh, it absolutely did. Because if you think about it, he really didn't have a majority of the vote when it came to the primary. It was just that it was divided up into so many tiny slices of pie. But again, you know, sometimes, I guess, depending on how you look at it, that can help you. Sometimes you can wind up with a real wackadoodle candidate because of a situation like that. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you know, Joe Biden, you know, not my favorite politician by a long shot, but at the same time, that's a far cry from somebody like a Booker or a Harris.
Yeah, when you talk about Joe Biden coming across as a moderate at this time.
I mean, that's kind of...
A moderate within the Democratic Party. He's truly a moderate, but a moderate within the Democratic Party. If you look at Liz Warren and you look at, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and these other names that are being dropped in the hat, you got to go, well, Joe Biden actually seems very reasonable.
Starts
among
to look
these.
A little sane, yeah. Comparatively. So I think that's what's going to be interesting. I mean, again, I think that this is something that Elizabeth Warren is doing for her because she wants it kind of, I mean, again, a la Hillary Clinton. This is something that she wanted to do regardless of whether or not it was best for the country and regardless of whether or not her party even wanted her to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who else comes out and frankly,
what
the
Lewis and Clark
party
exploratory committee comes up with.
I mean,
do they come up with a yay or an A? They're heading across.
Best of luck to Sacagawea, I suppose. Maybe they'll put her face on a coin one day.
All right, we're almost out of time. This train's going to be leaving the station, but before it does...
Is this the one... Which video are we talking about? There's a lot of videos.
This is the transgender one?
Oh, my goodness. Seriously. Did y'all see this one? This is insane. He's a man. All right, let's just be honest. This is a man. This is a biological man. They caught him on cell phone footage. Someone, of course, quote unquote, misgendered him. He was making a fuss. He was upset about something. And someone approached him and, you know, was basically like, calm down, sir. And this 6 foot whatever man with a 5 o'clock shadow sporting a pink pullover and bell bottoms spins around and just lights into this person who goes, it's ma'am.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I can call the police if you'd like me to. You need to settle down.
You need to settle down and mind your business, okay? Ma'am, once again, ma'am.
I said both of you.
No, you said sir. Once again, it's ma'am.
But I mean, and this is, and just starts flipping out and is punching things and knocking things over and bags of chips are flying all over the place. He was so upset that someone called him sir when he's clearly a sir. This wasn't, and sometimes you see a transgender person that actually kind of pulls it off. I mean, again, you are what you are, as is dictated by your chromosomes, but sometimes it's a little confusing and you're not sure. This was not one of those times. This was not one of those times.
Give me your corporate number. Well, I'm going to ask you for the fifth time to stop calling me a man, because quite clearly I am not.
And I apologize. I'm sorry for that, ma'am. I will get you that number. Is that okay?
Yes, get it for me now.
Like, it was, I mean, it was really, he was huge. He was huge. And, I mean, it was really disturbing.
So basically you're saying, talking about getting offended over nothing.
You're getting offended over nothing. And quite frankly, and you if know, you're talking about being offended, as a woman, I am offended that you think that that's all that makes you a woman, is that you throw on a pair of bell bottoms and you just decide you feel like one day. That's really kind of, I mean, that's really denigrating what it means to be a woman. I'm sorry, but as somebody who's, you know, lived it for the past 30 years, you don't get to just decide that you feel like one. And I would really like somebody to tell me what that feels like.
I gotta return those pink bell bottoms I got, darn it.
Well, if that's all it takes.
All right, well, we are out of time. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you again next week on the MRC TV podcast. Until then, I'm Eric.
I'm Brittany, and we will see you next time.